There's a story of a Swedish au pair working in London, and she was given the responsibility of looking after a young family. And one day she heard a terrible commotion upstairs in the house where she was looking after the children. So she ran upstairs, flung open the bedroom door, and intended to say to the children, "What on earth are you doing?" But her English wasn't quite up to scratch at that point. She flung open the door and said, "What are you doing on earth?" Which was a very profound question to ask young children. But actually, as a question to ask anyone, "What are you doing on earth?" It's something which, certainly at New Year time, it's good to think, what am I doing? What are we doing? What am I going to be doing for these next 12 months? Some of us have made resolutions. Maybe there's things you want to change. Some new things maybe you want to take on. And tomorrow we're going to take opportunity this New Year Sunday to pause briefly before we dive. Before we dive headlong, I know for a number of us it's back to work for the first time for maybe a couple of weeks tomorrow, or back to school, or back to college, or back to whatever. And it's good to pause before we dive straight in to this hectic year ahead. And this morning is an opportunity to do just that, just to pause briefly. We're continuing our studies in the book of Colossians, that New Testament book. Just a few weeks ago, I talked about Christmas in Colossae, in the city of Colossae. We looked at Christmas as it appeared in that book, the theme of the incarnation. And we saw how amazingly, in that book of Colossians, there the incredible theology, understanding what the incarnation was all about. Today, we're looking at New Year in Colossae. I believe, of course, the book of Colossians is a book for the whole year. It's packed with spiritual food for the year ahead. But we're looking today at New Year in the book of Colossians. As I was preparing this talk, I was reminded of something that happened around this time of year a couple of years ago. We had a knock on the door late at night. It wasn't massively late, but you need to understand that the Hickmans go to bed reasonably early. But nevertheless, it was one of those things that was fairly late. We heard a knock on the door, and for me, disturbances at night have not been good. We had had a whole series of things, starting with the telephone fax machine in the bedroom used to kick off, because the number of the church fax machine is on the internet, that we get loads of junk faxes from America advertising this in the middle of the night, and so that waking me up, and then the phone goes and it's some computer in America assuring me I've definitely won a holiday. and so disturbances at night haven't been good. And then a whole series of things at night where people have knocked on the door and it's been bad news. So as I was hearing the doorbell go late at night, I was thinking, oh no, my heart sank. What could it be? It was late. I was in bed. The children were asleep. I tried to ignore it, but knock, knock again. So I sneaked downstairs and opened the blind just a tiny bit and peeped through to see who was it. It was a man on a motorbike. I thought, oh no, the pizza man. Our neighbours have got into the habit of ordering late night pizzas. And there have been some uncertainty as to the address. And so we have been delivered late night pizzas on a number of occasions. I was thinking, oh no, it's the pizza man. But I couldn't see any pizza in his hand. I was thinking, maybe if I'm just go quiet, he'll go away. And then the phone rang. My phone rang, and a voice I didn't recognize said, "Will you just open the door?" And rang off. So I opened the door in trepidation, and the man on the motorbike didn't hand me a pizza, but he handed me a fantastic present and turned and left. It turned out to be a very nice and welcome present. See, I was wrong about the knock on the door. I was surprised. I'd feared the worst, but actually it turned out to be the best. I don't know about you, but as we start this year, most of us have mixed emotions. Maybe there's some things about the year ahead that you're not looking forward to. Maybe there's some things which we anticipate and think, I'm not quite sure about that. How's that going to work out? Maybe there's some things that you're thinking, that's going to be fantastic. I'm so looking forward to that. For most of us, this new year time is mixed emotions. We'd be looking forward to it, but there could be some things we may be not. And so I want to start this morning by praying for us, committing our lives into God's hands and to his plans. It's a fresh opportunity, basically, for us to trust God with this year and all that the year holds ahead. As we start and we look, it's only a year. There's nothing magical, of course, about the beginning of a year, except it's an opportunity. It's a season that lies ahead for us to say, God, your plans, your way, what do you want? So let's pray together, asking God to help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for last year and all the blessings and all the things you brought us through, all the trials, difficulties, and things that you brought us through. Heavenly Father, we want to, as we start this year, ask for your help. Would you please draw near to us? Would you please help us as we look ahead over the year, a year that comes, that we would know your guidance, that we would know your favor, that we would know blessing. I pray for health across the church in Jesus' name. I ask that you'd stretch out your hand, Lord, and bring healing, health, that your hand of blessing, Lord. And Father, where we face challenges, would you give us strength? Lord, for those of us here that face challenges this year that could seem daunting, Heavenly Father, would you pour out supernatural strength from above? In Jesus' name. Amen. On the Alpha course recently, I told a story. I wanted to repeat to you because it's a funny one, of a young police officer who was taking his final exams at Hendon Police College. Rob will remember it not so long ago himself. But one of the questions in the exam was this: you are on patrol in outer London when an explosion occurs in a gas main in a nearby street. On investigation, you found a large hole has been blown in the footpath and there is a van overturned nearby. Inside the van, there's a strong smell of alcohol. Both occupants, man and woman, are injured. A passing motorist stops to offer you assistance and you realize he is another man wanted for armed robbery. Suddenly, another man runs out of the house shouting his wife's expecting a baby and the shock of the explosion has made the birth imminent. Then another man is crying for help. He's been blown into the canal by the explosion and he cannot swim. Bear in mind the provisions of the Mental Health Act. Describe in a few words what actions you would take. The police officer scratched his head, thought for a moment, picked up his pen and wrote, "I would take off my uniform and mingle with the crowd." Faced with such choices, what would you do? What would you do? This year, we face a lot of choices. You face a lot of choices. Life, of course, is about choices. And in one sense, New Year is no different, but it's a time to review our choices. What choices are you going to make as you start off this first week of January? We're going to look at New Year in Colossae to help us this morning. There's a verse right at the end of the book of Colossians where Paul is giving his closing comments. And amongst other things, he mentions a personal message to someone with the name Archippus. And this is what he says in Colossians 4, verse 17. Paul's wanting to give a message. God wanted this guy, Archippus, to do something. And so Paul was the mouthpiece. This is a message to Archippus at the very end of this book. It says this: tell Archippus, be sure to carry out the work the Lord gave you. Be sure to carry out the work that the Lord gave you. I've called this a New Year's verse because Paul was reminding Archippus to get on with the thing that God wanted him to do. A new year is a great time to check in with God and ask him, God, am I doing the things you want me to do? There may be lots of things I want to do the year ahead. Maybe lots of things that you fancy doing in the year ahead. But it's an opportunity to check in and, like with Archippus, say, God, am I doing the things that you want me to do in this year that lies ahead? Another translation of the verse, that's the NLT. In the NIV version, it says, tell Archippus, see you complete the work you've received in the Lord. Almost as an idea here that maybe Archippus has started something, But he's run out of steam. He started doing something for God and then he just didn't have what it took to finish it. Maybe that's true for some of us. We started doing something we believe God wanted us to do and we've run out of steam. The talk this morning is about getting on with what God wants us to do in this year ahead. So who was this chap, Archippus? What a funny name. And in many ways, Archippus was an ordinary Christian in a city, in a church, in a busy city, very much like you, very much like me, here in London today. The city was different, it was Colossae, the time was different, it was 2,000 years ago, but very similar in lots of ways. Now we know a little bit about this guy, Archippus, because Paul mentions him in another letter that he wrote at the same time as the book of Colossians. He wrote a second letter to a guy called Philemon. Beginning of the book of Philemon, he mentions Archippus. This is what it says, Philemon chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. And so here, Philemon was a church leader in Colossae. Philemon had a daughter called Apphia and a son called Archippus. That's what we can gather from this. It was a house church. As so often in those days, they didn't have a building to meet in. They rented places like this. And then they met in homes kind of on a kind of more regular basis. And so here Archippus was probably, the son of Philemon, who was a church leader. Archippus was known to Paul, he's here known as a fellow soldier. In other words, he's someone who Paul respects as someone who's working for God, someone who's going for God. He's not someone who he didn't know, he's not someone who's backslidden, he's not someone who's doing nothing. Here he's known as someone who's doing something for God. And yet Paul's got a message for him. Come on, keep doing the things that God wants you to do. The work that God's given you to do, get on with it and do it. And I feel God speaking to us this morning here as individuals and together as a church. The thing that God has for you to do, get on with it in this year ahead. The Message translation of this, our key verse this morning, puts it like this in Colossians 4:17. Again, this is in the Message translation. It says this, do your best in the job you receive from the Master, from Jesus. Do your very best. And here the idea is, God has given me a job. Paul, get on and do it to the best of your ability, whatever that job is that God's given me to do. We can spiritualize this and we can call it a ministry. And perhaps in many ways that's helped. It's certainly biblical to call our service of God our ministry. In fact, in the ESV version, the same verse, our verse for today, is written like that. It says, see, you fulfill the ministry you've received from the Lord. Another place in the New Testament, Paul talks to Timothy about the same thing. 2 Timothy 4, he says, carry out the ministry that God has given you. See, sometimes we think of ministry just in terms of spiritual roles, spiritual things. But it's far bigger. We each have a ministry, and it's nothing more glamorous than serving God. That our ministry, your ministry, my ministry, is what God wants me to do in a practical way to serve him. Certainly our ministry is in the church. So blessed and so encouraged by all the effort and so grateful for everyone, the work that everyone puts into working with the children, the youth, working with the music, the home fellowship groups, supporting, caring, reaching out, serving, evangelism. So much goes on. So much ministry within the church. But also, our ministry, of course, is at work. If you work, then God's ministry for you at work is that you are a good worker, that you give yourselves fully to the job that God's called you to do at work, and that you are a model worker, that you're a model worker at what you do in your job, but also that you're a good witness, that when people look at you at work, they say, there's someone who's different. What is it different about this person? And it's Jesus, of course, that makes you different. Opportunity, of course, our ministry, of course, to reach out to those at work. In the community, God's given us different gifts. And amongst here, our ministry may be handing out tracts on the street. It may be speaking to people on the bus. It may be serving our neighbours. It may be working with the homeless, as we talked about earlier on. It may be serving with food bank, as helping those who haven't got enough to eat. Practical ways of serving in the community. Maybe it's at home. if you share a flat with others, it's loving those who you share a flat with. Maybe if you've got a home, it's an opportunity for hospitality. How can God use my home to touch the lives of those that don't know Jesus? If you're married, and then you're being a good spouse is what God's called you to do. Marriage is a very powerful advert of God's love to the world around us. And of course, for parents, your most important ministry of all as a parent is to your children, bringing them up to follow Jesus and love Jesus. But it goes on and on. The list goes on and on. And as Christians, we're simply called in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9 to be those who have turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. We're simply servants of God. What is a Christian? What is a Christian? Someone asks you tomorrow at work, at college, at school, what is a Christian? A Christian is just simply who's being someone who's called to serve God. Paul describes himself in 2 Corinthians 6:4 as those who are servants of God. Peter encourages Christians in 1 Peter 2 verse 16, live as servants of God. Back to our key verse in Colossians 4 verse 17. Tell Archippus, be sure to carry out the work the Lord gave you. See, God had given Archippus something to do. God had spoken to him. God had made it clear to him there was something. It could be in the workplace, it could be in the church, it could be in the community, it could be in the home, it could be all four, it could be whatever. God had given him something to do, and Paul was encouraging him, what God has given you to do, get on with it. Give yourself to it. Give it your best job. Give it the best effort you can. But perhaps, why did Archippus need this encouragement? Perhaps something was holding him up. Perhaps something was stopping him. Perhaps something was preventing him. And perhaps something is holding me up. Perhaps something's holding you up from the things that God, or the things that God has put on your heart for this year ahead. For Archippus, maybe the thing that was holding up Archippus was he was procrastinating, not getting on with it. He was good at talking about what God had given him to do. He was good at praying about what God had given him to do, but actually getting on and doing it, he was procrastinating. He was putting off. So easy. I find it so easy. What about you? How easy do you find to put off the things that God is calling you to do in this year ahead? Are you procrastinating? So it's good to remember we're here on planet Earth for a purpose. As the Swedish au pair said at the beginning, what are you doing on Earth? God has plans for your life. The specific things that God has for you to do in this year ahead. It's really, really important, I believe, as we start this year, not just to drift into it and get on and let's say, okay, here we go, another year, but actually just to hold stock and say, God, I just want to check in with you, just want to check in as we're starting this year, what have you got this year for me to do? Now, there's a balance here because obviously there's some things that it's good for us to do all the time. I don't have to pray at the end of the meeting, should I put the chairs away? Is that my ministry or not? Just get on and do it. Just get on and put the chairs away. Some things we just need to get on and do in our lives. We don't need a ministry to do it. We just have to get on and do it. But there's also a balance. I love the verse in Colossians 3 verse 23 where it says, whatever you do, whatever it is, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. So whatever we do, to do it with the energy of God to serve God. But there's a balance here. I've only got so much time. You've only got so much energy. You've only got so much money. What things specifically will God have you do this year? I love the verse in Ephesians 5 verse 10 where Paul says, find out what pleases the Lord. Find out. In other words, you need to ask. We need to ask God, what is going to please you in what I do this year? I could do this, I could do this, I could do this. God, what is it? What is it? I come to you and ask. So Archippus may have been procrastinating and not getting on with God's work, or perhaps not. Perhaps Archippus was someone who felt he wasn't good enough to do God's work. Procrastination wasn't his a problem. He was a doer. He was just get out there and do. The problem for Archippus wasn't procrastination, but his problem was perhaps I'm not good enough. Why would God use me? And many of us may feel not up to the task. Perhaps thinking, well, someone else could do it, not me. Why should God choose me? Why would God want to use me? Why wouldn't God choose this person or that person or this person? Why would God choose me? When I first became a Christian, I remember a little plan. I thought, look, my life's a real mess. I've just become a Christian. This needs to change. That needs to change. This needs to change. Goodness me, there's loads of stuff here that's a mess. And so I said, God, I've got a plan. What I'll do is I will have a 6-month boot camp and I'll get my life completely sorted out. And then God can use me after 6 months. So I had this little plan. During that 6 months, I realized, actually, this was going to take more than 6 months. Actually, there's quite a lot of things that are going to need to change. And those things are not going to change in 6 months because they need the grace of God working over a period of time. And so sometimes we think, God, how can you use me with something? I do these things wrong, or these are thoughts I have, or I struggle in this area, or there's this. Do you know, the amazing thing is God wants to use those people who are available. God wants to use you if you're available to him, not if you're good enough. There's something which bugs at the back of my mind thinking, am I good enough to be used by God? And I realized in those 6 months, I was not going to be good enough to be used by God. And in fact, there's a lovely verse in Psalm 139, verse 16, where David, the King David, describes what happens in a mother's womb when a child is being created by God. And this is what David says. He talks about a book. Like God has, the sort of picture here is God with a book. And that as that child is being created inside its mother's womb, it says, in your book, all the days of my life were written before ever they took shape, when as yet there was none of them. In other words, that time of that when no one could see, where you were hidden away inside your mother's womb, where God was crafting you together with a miracle of this new person coming together and God making, knitting you together, which is described so wonderfully in Psalm 139. What it talks about here is as though God has a book and he kind of crafts out for your life your days, your purposes, the things he has for you, that God's there writing them down thinking, this would be great for you. Be great if you did this and you could do this and I can get you to do this and this and this. It's your destiny. It's a big word, destiny, and it can sound a bit kind of overhyped. But no, actually, God has purposes set down before you popped out of your mum's womb. Before you were born, the purposes for your life were destined by God. Now, it's your choice if you walk in those. It's my choice if I walk in those. I'm not some puppet on a string that God kind of just pulls the strings and here we go. Actually, it's down to me as to whether I want to walk in these things. I could walk my way. I could head off and do it Frank Sinatra style, my way. Or I could say, God, what are these purposes that you've written down? God, could you give me a peep into that book that you wrote? God, could you show me what's written on the page for this year ahead? God, could you just give me that sense of knowing what is on the page of your book for this year ahead? Because God is not looking for perfect people, he's looking for available people. And if you're available, if you're humble, if you come and say, God, would you show me what you want me to do with my life this year? Then God's there, ready to show us, ready to help us, ready to give us what the grace that we need to do the things he's calling us to. So maybe that was Archippus' problem. Or perhaps Archippus' problem was that he didn't know where to start. He thought, God wants me to do all these things. It seems daunting. How can I start? If God wants me to do this and this and this, goodness me, how am I going to get going in these things? They seem so hard. Sometimes we can be overwhelmed. I feel overwhelmed. I'm sure you do. Sometimes we get an inkling of the things that God wants us to do, and yet we feel overwhelmed. And you know what? Often it's just best to start small. I love the scripture where it says, don't despise the day of small things. Just because it's a small thing doesn't mean it's an insignificant thing. Get on with what God wants us to do. Even a small thing, God will grow it. I'm amazed that time after time, I've done something quite small I felt God wanted me to do, and then I've looked back and realized what difference it has made, far beyond that little thing that I've done. There's a story of a man walking along the beach. As he walked along the beach, he noticed that the tide had washed up a load of starfish all over the beach. Thousands and thousands of starfish on the beach, and the tide was receding. The sun was baking down. He looked at these starfish that were drying out, and he just bent down and started to pick them up one by one and throw them back into the sea, because they were going to die shortly on the sand. He thought, get them back into the sea. He just felt compassion on these starfish. Another guy just walked up to him and said, excuse me. He says, what you're doing is futile. Look, there are thousands and thousands and thousands. You're going to make no difference. You make no difference. The guy knelt down, picked up one starfish. He threw it into the sea. He said it made a difference to that one. And just what we can do, what you can, I can do, just what we can, what God gives us to do, a small thing actually can make a difference. And we can be overwhelmed by the opportunities, overwhelmed by the task, overwhelmed by the problems, but actually there's things we can do, small things. I want to ask this morning, if you feel that you're not able to move ahead into the things that God has for you because you think it's too big, would you ask God, could you give me one thing to do? Could you give me a small thing to do? Could you give me a first step that I could start heading down this way? Archippus, maybe that was his problem. Or perhaps Archippus was distracted from getting on with God's work because he was too busy with other things. So God had spoken to him and he felt that the certain thing he should be doing, but maybe he was just too busy. There were so many things happening in life. He lived in a busy, Colossae was a very busy city. Colossae was a city that prospered. Colossae was a city where there was a lot happening. Doesn't it sound a lot like London? Somewhere where there's a lot of opportunity, we're very busy. As people, I bet you're busy. Maybe Archippus was busy, too busy to do the things that God wanted him to do. Do you know what? Sometimes we have to stop doing one thing so we can start doing other things. I want to ask you this morning a really honest question. What does God want you to stop doing in this year ahead? Because if your life is packed from beginning to end and there's no space for what God wants you to do, maybe it's because you're too busy. Maybe it's because you're busy with things that you want to do or feel are the right thing to do. But maybe it's a time for change. Maybe it's a season for change. Maybe God's doing something different and something new. See, life has seasons. And we've got to watch out for those seasons. Because if we miss the change of season, we miss the new thing and the new season and the new thing that God wants us to do. We can be trying to live in the old season and live in the new season. And of course it can't, because we can't be in two places at once. We can't do so many things. We get torn. And so we have to say, God, what is this season? What is this season of my life? What was Archippus doing? Perhaps he was spending too much time at work and not enough time raising his children. Perhaps he was spending too much time watching TV and not enough time reaching out to his friends. Perhaps he was spending too much time filling his life with Christian activity, but not enough time praying. There are some things we have to stop doing in this season. Good things, worthwhile things. You can't do everything. It's good to work with the homeless in London. It's good to do evangelism on the street or on the bus. It's good to help at food bank. It's good to work with the youth and children. It's good to be hospitable, invite people who are not Christians over and share with them. It's good to be engaged in the work of prayer. But sometimes we have to stop some good things to do the God things. Because it may be a change of season. It may be that God wants me to do something different. For some of us here today, actually, God's message for you today is what you were doing last year was totally spot on, 100% what God wants you to do. And God says, carry on doing it this year ahead. Actually, what you've been doing is totally, you're completely in the will of God. Keep walking in those things. But for some of us, it would be what you were doing last year was last year. This year's a new season. Be prepared to change. Be open to change. Rather than saying, well, I did it last year, and that's what God wanted me to do, so this is a new year, so God must want me to do it this year. Actually, it may be a season of change. It may be a time where God be saying to you, there is a new thing, walk in it. Perhaps Archippus, wasn't a problem for him. Perhaps Archippus doubted that God had really spoken to him in the first place. I don't know about you, but this happens to me. Sometimes I can hear God speak to me, maybe in a meeting like this. Or I'm at home praying, and I feel God speak to me, and I hear God wants me to do something. But then the devil comes along and drops doubt and fear and uncertainty into my heart. And I think, did God really say those things? And I start to get wobbly, and I start thinking, oh, perhaps not, you know, perhaps God didn't say that. The things that we hear when we're open to God and we're humble and we're receiving from him, those are the things we need to hold on to. Because once we get into the effort and the battle and all that day-to-day life throws at us, the devil can easily just pop those seeds of doubt and fear and unbelief into my heart. And if I get those things, I've got to go back to God and say, God, what is it? What? Just refresh me in those things. Just refresh me in what you said. Just refresh again the things that you want me to be doing. Because I believe God wants to burn in our hearts the things he wants us to do. So we're not those that can sort of take it or leave it. Okay, we'll see what happens drifting into the year. No, we're those who in our hearts, there's something from God that gives us a direction for this year ahead. Perhaps Archippus, finally, the final perhaps, is perhaps he was rebellious. And he decided he wasn't going to get on with God's work, but do his own thing. I want us to just to remember the lovely words in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, where God says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I know the plans I have. God has plans. God has things for you for this year ahead. And often the things that are my plans aren't necessarily God's plans. There are things I might think, God, I want this, and I want this, and this year I'd like to do this. Actually, God's plans can be different. And so coming to God and say, God, if there is any rebellion in me, if there's any self-drive where I want to do what I want to do, God, would you please rescue me from these things? And would you please put on my heart your desires, what you want me to do in this year ahead? I want to finish this morning with just a passage from Luke 17. It's a parable. And it's a parable that struck over the years. This parable Jesus told has struck me very, very often. This parable struck me. And it's a parable Jesus told about us serving God. And this is the parable. Jesus says, suppose one of you has a servant plowing the field or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes from the field, come along now, sit down and eat? And it's a rhetorical question. So the answer is no, of course not. Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to? Again, it's a rhetorical question. No, of course not, because he's a servant. So you also, when you've done everything you were told, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. It's a very hard-hitting parable. Jesus was saying to us that Jesus totally loves us, totally cares for each one of us. We're special. We're the apple of his eye, and each of us is special, and he calls us his friends. Jesus said to his followers, actually, you're my friends. But there's an aspect of our walking with God where you and I, as I said earlier, are simply servants of the Most High. And actually, God has things for us to do. And these things actually come down to our duty. It's not a word that's commonly kind of heard very much these days. It seems a very old-fashioned word. But our duty is to do what God wants us to do. That's why you were created. That's why you were made. That's why you were born again. That's why you're here today. That's why we're alive today. That's why we're alive for this year ahead, that you and I can do our duty and do what God wants us to do in this year ahead. Let's close our eyes for a moment, please. It's a very hard-hitting parable, very plain-speaking words from Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for this wonderful, amazing verse we've seen today in Colossians, that Archippus was this guy who you'd given something to do and he, for whatever reason, wasn't getting on with it. Lord, I want to ask today for us as we're here before you, would you give us really clearly the things you want us to do in this year ahead? And would you give us the courage not to procrastinate, not to put them off, not to miss them, not to be lazy, but God, to grasp the things you're saying to us and get on with it? God, would you help us? Would you give us grace, that supernatural power from heaven to do what you want us to do? Just quiet for a moment. Just want to ask you a personal question. No response, it's between you and God. But are any of those six reasons that Archippus could have not been doing the things God wanted him to, are any of those six things relevant to you? I'm sure they all are, in a sense, relevant to us all the time. But maybe there's one or two particular that just strike my heart. I think, wow, yeah, perhaps I'm like Archippus in that way. Holy Spirit, would you please come this morning as we're gathered together, and would you impress on our hearts your purposes for this year ahead? Thank you, Jesus. I just feel as we're quiet that for some of us, God is saying, what you did last year, I want you to continue in those things. I want you to give yourself fully to those things. I want you to have faith for those things and persevere in those things. And so in a sense, the talk this morning is keep on doing what you're doing, but with the grace of God and the vision of God and the faith of God to do them to your best in this year ahead. But there are some of us here today who God say, look, there's a change of season. There's something new. There's something different. Would you embrace the new? Would you get courage from God to embrace the new in this season that lies ahead? For some of us this morning, there's uncertainty about this year. And I want to pray for you this morning. If you feel, yeah, I'm not sure what this year holds, I'm uncertain, there are unknowns, and there could be some fear or excitement, there could be some uncertainty, mixed emotions, I want to pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, I ask for those of us this morning that are not sure what this year holds. Lord, would you take control of this year? Would you be the one in control of our futures? Would you be the one who works in and through every circumstance and situation? Would you be the one who leads us and guides us and provides for us and makes a way for us in these 12 months that lie ahead? God, we ask that you would speak your words of life into every heart that's here today. So just feel that there's a few of us today who are struggling and we just haven't got hope for the year. There's a real sense of defeat and a real sense of God, how am I going to make it? How is it going to change? How are things going to work out? And I feel God wants to light a candle. We saw those birthday candles lit so brightly earlier on. They were lit with a match, and that God would light that fresh flame of hope in your heart this morning, that he is going to bring you through, that he is going to work in your life, through your life in this year ahead. Come, Holy Spirit, and light afresh in our hearts. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.